soul to soul and spirit to spirit. Blessings. Well, we haven't had a talk in a couple of weeks now. Yet something keeps pushing from within my consciousness. And we'll see today if it finds its way out. We talk a lot about the conscious awareness of God, and how when you have the conscious awareness of God, then problems dissolve. Or in other words, he uttered his voice, the earth melted. And yet all that remains poetry, pretty words, or it remains in the realm of intellectual enjoyment, unless we have the actual experience of the conscious awareness of the presence of God. I, in the midst of thee, am mighty, and I, in the midst, does not mean that I am standing around somewhere close by. It does not mean in a crowd of two or more, I'm standing near as a third. That's not what in the midst, that's not what midst means. In the midst means in the center of, in the middle of, in the midst of your consciousness, in the center of your consciousness, in the center of your being, stands this I. And this I in the midst of your being is God. But how do we have the actual experience of God? Most of us have read so many books over the years, and yet something is missing. And that, of course, is the actual experience of that which we are reading. We should know by now that there's a specific path to the experience of this I, this presence of God. It starts with practicing the presence, which is simply remembering God, remembering that there is a presence. Closer than breathing, nearer than hands and feet, throughout your days and nights. But this again is most of the time just in the realm of intellectually learning the letter of truth. And the letter, of course, won't give you the experience. But it is the first step toward the experience of I in the midst of you. After that, we are taught to take the letter into our meditation. And because most of us have a boiler factory inside, we can't immediately attain or move into the silence. But we are given the tool of contemplation. And so, in addition to remembering God throughout the day, now we are contemplating the Word. And that means when we sit down and close our eyes, we simply look at a scripture, such as, I in the midst of thee am mighty. And we contemplate it. Contemplation means that we look at it. What does that mean? How would I apply that? How would I allow that I in the midst of me to take over my life? So that I might get to the place where Paul is and let Christ live within me. And so we contemplate the letter of truth. And we look at it from every direction with our eyes closed quietly. And we reach the place where thought about that truth, that scripture, comes to an end. And when it comes to an end, we stand still. We are quiet. We are just resting. With a listening, receptive attitude. Now, a receptive attitude does not mean that you are listening with your outer ears. It means you have the attitude within your being. Okay, that's all I know about the letter. Now, Father, what have you to say? What have you to reveal? That's your attitude. You're waiting in expectancy. And that's how we approach meditation for the first time. Nothing strenuous, nothing difficult. Just simply pondering a scripture or the letter of truth and then pausing, resting for a couple of minutes, maybe 1 or 2 minutes, with the attitude that we are receptive to whatever might be revealed. And that's where it starts. That's where it started for me back in 1973, or even 72. It took me a year. It took me a year and one half, exactly. Until that night when I was doing just exactly this, pondering something I had just read out of The Art of Meditation, and suddenly I felt a movement. It wasn't physical. It wasn't mental. I had momentarily forgotten to think anything. I was just resting after pondering the truth in The Art of Meditation. I believe it was the chapter For Love is of God. In fact, I'm sure of it. And in that pondering, in that moment of rest, in that momentary pause, suddenly I felt a presence. I felt it on the side of my face, the top of my head, and on my shoulder. And that was the first time I had ever felt the presence. I wasn't even sure what it was, except that it brought with it a sense of peace. It brought with it a release from the particular problem that I was struggling with. What at the time was a sense of loneliness and fear because my ex-wife had left me. And it brought a release from that. And a feeling that all was well because I in the midst of thee am mighty. And that was the first time I ever felt the presence. And I went running over to a friend's house who Well, to my spiritual advisor's house, who had been reading these Joel Goldsmith books and had given me that copy of The Art of Meditation, and I said, what is this? Let me tell you what just happened. And that's when he told me it was the presence I was feeling. And how wonderful that was. I fell in love with it. But the point that I'm making here is that I followed the directions. I didn't try to work with advanced principles. I didn't try to understand deep mysticism. I followed the directions of practicing the presence, and then contemplating, pondering the letter of truth, and then resting. And sure as the dickens, I had the experience that I had been promised by Joel. And from then until now, it's really been a matter of continuing deeper and deeper into longer periods and more frequent periods of feeling that presence, that I in the midst of me, which is the same I, the same presence in the midst of you. And so, I guess the point I'm making here is, if you don't feel that presence, if you haven't felt that presence, then you need to just set everything aside and go back and follow the original directions. Because everything hinges on the experience of this God presence. Nothing else will happen until you start at the beginning. Well, after you feel this presence for a while, and after you're able to contact it, not quite with every meditation, but quite frequently, then of course it leads you into other things such as the art of spiritual healing and discovering the mystical I and discovering your true identity and whatnot. But we have to make a beginning, and we have to follow the directions that have been laid out. So, if you have not had that experience of the presence visiting you, or better than that would be, of I in the midst of you whispering in your ear, then go back and follow the directions until you do. But if you have had that experience, and if you are having that experience on a continuous basis, then you will understand the rest of this talk. Because this is really a talk for those of you who have already felt that presence, that I in the midst of you. And all I'm really going to do is share my recent discoveries about it. But you will be able to assimilate them, and perhaps some of you will already be saying, well, of course, I've known that for some time. And that's okay too. For me, it is a new discovery. Okay, so, I in the midst of you am mighty. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. We have talked recently, the last few months, a great deal about this world as opposed to my kingdom. We've talked about the illusion called this world, not being externalized ever. We've talked about we live and move and have our being in God, in Christ, in the infinite invisible. But we don't see it. We see through the glass darkly of sense perception. And so now, what has come the last few days, the last week or two, I have not been able to get away from the statement, the two words. Well, actually, five words. And they are, the Word was made flesh. That seems to keep coming and coming. And I'm beginning to, because I have pondered it, to the point where that silence descends, I have had a few realizations. One is that the Word is made flesh and dwells among us does not mean that we receive the Word of God in our meditation, such as, "It is I, be not afraid," and that Word becomes matter, or that Word becomes this world, or that Word forms itself as physical matter. That's not what it means. If I go into meditation and I am still and I hear, "All that I have is thine," that Word is not going to form itself as physical flesh. Because there are two types of flesh, and we talked about that a little bit. And those two types of flesh are entirely different. The Word becomes flesh does not mean that you receive in your meditation, "All that I have is thine," and suddenly $1,000 comes to you. That's not the flesh. And if we're looking for that, that's why we're not making our demonstration. If we are looking for the Word to become physical flesh in the form of a dollar, or a job, or a house, or a cure, or a health, or a companion, that's not the flesh the Word becomes. That flesh, formed as physical something or other, is the flesh that is grass, which today is and tomorrow withers. Tomorrow is cast into the oven. And so if we are looking for the Word to appear as physical flesh in this world, we're missing the way. And we can know that that's why the spiritual principles haven't worked. So what is this other flesh? It's very important that we understand this. The Word was made flesh and dwells among us. This is really so beautiful. The Word received within you is made flesh. It's in the present tense. It's not the Word was made flesh 2,000 years ago. It's not talking about something appearing in this world, because this world is an illusion. This world is your misperception of the infinite invisible. So, definitely, it can't be that God's Word appears as a better illusion. That can't be what it's talking about. So what is the flesh, then, that God's Word forms itself as? In the silence, when you have become still, when you have come to the end of your pondering, when you have truly entered the silence, there's no judgment going on within, no desire going on within. You're simply waiting, and it can be only for a second, a split second of waiting upon the Lord, a split second of silence. You hear or you receive the word, and it can be a feeling of the presence. It doesn't necessarily have to be an audible word, and in my experience, that's been very rare. It has happened, but it has been very rare. Most of the times, thousands upon thousands of times, for me, it has been a feeling of the presence, a quickening, spirit moving through me. I can feel it. I can actually feel it. When I feel this presence, the Word has become flesh. This feeling the invisible, or this invisible feeling, is the flesh. In the silence, God utters its word, and now it has formed itself as this presence. This is the word made flesh. This flesh is invisible. You will not see it with your eyes. And so, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us is that point where you are standing very still and the Word forms itself as a feeling of the presence, as an awareness of the presence. The Word made flesh is an awareness of the presence. You actually feel it. You sense it. You know it. You discern it. When that has happened, the Word has become flesh and dwells within you. You have become aware, I in the midst of thee am here. Now the Word is made flesh, and you can relax. You can relax. The meditation is complete. This Word made flesh will appear as form out here. But this out here is not the form that is the Word made flesh. When the Word is made flesh and you have felt it, the mind interprets that flesh as flesh out here. And you say, ah, I've had a healing. There's income which I never planned. The perfect person has come into my life that I needed right at this moment. The opportunity has come out of the blue. Why, I found a natural cure. I didn't need any medicine. Or, it just disappeared. Harmony is happening. I'm finding myself in the right place at the right time. But this picture out here, these forms out here, as we all know, can change back again to something else. Now, instead of a problem of health, we've got a problem of supply. Now, instead of a problem of companionship, we have a problem of health. Because this out here is the grass that dies. This is the grass that withers. This is the grass that is thrown into the oven. This is the flesh that profiteth nothing. You see the difference between the two fleshes? And so I say that we are missing our demonstration if we are trying to get God. Now we understand this, don't we? We can't get the Word of God to form itself physically. And if you're trying to pull God into the physical flesh, you're never going to get there. It is an entire impossibility. So, we drop that. We do not concern ourselves anymore with any physical flesh. That will take care of itself. We don't even worry about it. Our joy now is to come within in our inner temple and be a witness, a beholder of the Word made flesh, spiritual flesh, invisible flesh, the presence of I in our midst, and the awareness of that presence as a reality, or the awareness of reality as that presence. That's the flesh. That's the Word formed as the presence, as the flesh. That's all that we are concerned with. Because of omniscience, it will then be interpreted by the mind as our need fulfilled. And you might say, well, how does that happen? And I have no idea whatsoever. And if you read closely Joel's statements, neither does he. He had no idea how that happened. But that it does happen, we know beyond the shadow of a doubt. Because after thousands of such experiences, we know all we have to do is drop any idea at all of God manifesting in this world. And then drop this world. Come into the inner temple where we may tabernacle with God. That's why it says the tabernacle of God is with men. Ponder if we need to relax, and then rest back. Be receptive and receive the Word of God, which will then form itself as invisible flesh. Now that invisible flesh can be a feeling of the presence. It can be an awareness of that I in our midst. It can also be received as an impartation, a word, a group of words, a sentence formed in some way we've never seen before, such as that one I received a while back, there is no this world in this world. It can be received in the form of a scripture. But when it is received, not a thought, when it is received or heard or felt within, when you have an awareness of it within, then it has power to transform you within, to lift you up where you are dwelling in the midst of I, the presence, and where I, the presence, am dwelling in the midst of you, and we are one. This then, interpreted by the mind, becomes the harmony of your everyday life. Do you see how that works? And so, when you understand that there are two types of flesh, then you will know what it means, that the one flesh is grass, it's thrown in the oven. But the other flesh is that temple not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Now listen, every time you do this, and you receive within you the Word, which forms itself as invisible flesh, you are building an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Every single realization you have is building that invisible consciousness, or that invisible awareness, which is the Word made flesh. This is the consciousness that will be with you for eternity. You are building an eternal life. Or, rather than that, we should say, you are receiving an awareness of your eternal consciousness. This is the consciousness you will take with you. If you develop the capacity to turn within and receive the Word and watch as it is made flesh, as an invisible feeling of the Presence, you will have that capacity for eternity. Because it's not made by hands, and it is eternal. When Jesus multiplied the loaves and the fishes, he did not multiply the loaves and the fishes. That's what the crowd saw. Saw him manipulating physical flesh. Now you know the secret. He turned within. Thank you, Father, because he had just received within the Word that formed itself as invisible flesh. We don't know what word he received. Maybe it was, all that I have is thine, or maybe it was just a feeling that I am in the midst of thee. But he felt it because he said, thank you, Father. Then that was interpreted out here as the multiplying of the loaves and fishes. So we are supposed to set our affection on things above, not on things of the earth. And that's what the scripture means. We are not meditating anymore to see the Word of God formed as a physical remedy. We are dropping all that behind us. Those were in the days of metaphysics. Now we are meditating to see the invisible Word formed as invisible flesh. And we are saying, like Jesus, thank you, Father, and resting. That's as much as we ever need to do. That's why it says there remaineth the rest. And then we watch as miraculously the mind interprets it as our need fulfilled out here. But we have nothing to do with that. Our part is in our inner temple. This is what is meant, I come as a thief in the night. Because when you receive that Word made flesh as a conscious awareness within you, the invisible spirit comes as a thief in the night, and in a way ye know not of, harmony appears out here. What we must do now is grow in strength and understanding. We must practice this when things out here appear to be good, because we know it's a misinterpretation of that invisible flesh. And one day it will wither. We must practice this when things out here appear to be bad, because we know that it's a misinterpretation of the invisible presence, of the invisible flesh. And that this too shall pass. Our task is to continuously turn within, so that we may receive the Word made flesh, made invisible flesh, continuously, and it may live itself as us. This is what is meant by I in the midst of thee. It is in the very midst of your consciousness. I am in the midst of your consciousness. But if you have already been practicing this, well then, I guess this is nothing really new. Except maybe the revelation that the Word made flesh is invisible flesh and results in an invisible feeling of it or an invisible awareness of it. Then comes the release and you are free. And in some way you know not of, harmony appears. It's really quite marvelous. It's really the Christmas experience over and over. We really walk continuously in the Christmas experience. Okay. Now let's get quiet. I stand in the midst of thee. I, the living presence of Christ. God the Father expresses as Christ, the invisible Christ, formed of the Word. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of truth and grace. This only begotten of the Father is Christ in the midst of you, in the midst of your consciousness. So cease from man whose breath is in his nostrils. Lay not up for yourself treasures out there. Come within. There remaineth a rest to you. You have the secret of hidden manna. You know now where the meat is that the world knows not of. It is in your inner temple. The Word is made flesh. Invisible flesh. Christ's identity, standing in the midst of your consciousness. It is I. Be not afraid. Rest back. Rest back. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Fear not. I am here. Be still. I have come. And the Word flows into you, into your consciousness, forming itself as invisible awareness, invisible flesh. and you can feel it as a cloud of spirit around your shoulders. You can feel it as a touch on the side of your face, on the shoulder, on your arm. You can feel it as a movement, a quickening. Sometimes you are flooded with that invisible flesh called spirit. Spiritual God utters its word, and the word is made spiritual flesh and dwells among you, in your midst. And now be still. And this I goes before you and prepares a place for you. And this place is in your very own consciousness. One of the inner chambers prepared for you. And this I makes the crooked places straight and the rough places smooth, so that you do not have to live your life. You can remain a beholder of invisible flesh appearing as form. Yes, Christ is living your life. And in this quiet way, with no one knowing what you are doing, I, in the midst of you, will make all things new. I will make you a new creature. In my image and likeness, you will come to see that this invisible flesh formed of the Word is what you are. For now, your life is hid with Christ in God. And in some way you will never know, yet you will experience, I come as a thief in the night. I come as Santa Claus comes to the children and leaves gifts under the tree. So I come to you and form myself as your awareness, which appears as the gift of your eternal self, and appears out here as harmony and your need fulfilled. Do you not see each meditation must result in this Christmas experience? The Word is made flesh and dwells in your midst. Forms itself as your inner awareness. And where where the word forms itself, there is liberty indeed. Where the spirit is, there is liberty. Where the word is received in consciousness and forms itself, there is liberty. And we are free indeed. And I, in the midst of you, have come to set at liberty those who were captive. And I, in the midst of you, have come to reveal your eternal flesh. Your eternal house, your eternal companion, your eternal source of supply. Let us go forth now in the understanding that the Word is made flesh, forms itself as an invisible feeling of the Presence. This is the flesh of the Word, God. This is your inheritance. This is your true body. This is the mind that was in Christ Jesus. And this is your very own consciousness. And finally, let us realize this. Your consciousness is infinite. All those who have ever come to this point of realization that the Word made flesh is an invisible experience are one with you who realize it now. And they are in your consciousness, supporting and uplifting your new awareness. Christian mysticism is in your consciousness. Zen Buddhism is in your consciousness. Hinduism is in your consciousness. The Eightfold Path is in your consciousness. The Secret Order of the Brotherhood, the White Brotherhood, is in your consciousness. And the Infinite Way is in your consciousness. Did you really think it was a set of books with a teacher or two sprinkled here or there? That was the mind's interpretation of the real Infinite Way. You have the entire Infinite Way within your consciousness. Everything that was ever revealed in the Infinite Way resides in your consciousness as the Word made invisible flesh. And everything that has as yet been revealed in the Infinite Way is also in your consciousness and will reveal itself Yes, I have confirmation. It will reveal itself, and it resides in your consciousness now. And so now you can know with a certainty that there's no reason ever to believe that there is any infinite way out here. The infinite way is your very own conscious awareness, residing in your consciousness for eternity. Your consciousness, the Word made flesh invisibly, is the infinite way. And so, that is some of what was revealed to me the last few days. And I really have nothing to add. Bless you. Thank you for all the love you've given me the past few months and over this last year. I wish for all of you this inner Christmas experience as you come into the awareness of your eternal divine inheritance. God bless.